Proverbs in our Proverbs study. So, open to Proverbs chapter 27. So, our last couple of lessons, we've been talking about money, riches, wealth, and that sort of thing. And so, we have one more lesson on that. And so, we'll start here in Proverbs 27. This is our 14th study here in Proverbs, and I titled this study, Money Ins and Outs. So Proverbs 27, verse number 24, for riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. All right, so I used to go to a barber. I had in my notes to pause and wait for the laughter to die down. I used to need to go to the barber, okay? I know that's hard to believe. I think some of my kids think that I've never had hair in my life. Anyway, this barber, though, he was a good barber and he was a good guy. I always enjoyed talking to him, but he had to watch. Sometimes he would talk more than he would cut and it could take a while. But he used to tell you, never get financial advice from a barber shop. But he was actually pretty good with money. I had a few good talks with him about some different things. He was pretty good at getting it. He's pretty good at keeping it. In addition to cutting hair, he would do different odd jobs on the side. And so one of those was he would paint stripes on parking lots after they had been resealed. And so he was telling me about he had recently had done a job like that, painting the stripes on the parking lot that had just been resealed. He took his grandson along. He was maybe, 12, 13 years old or something. He took his grandson along to work with him and told him that he would pay him. I don't know what the hourly rate was he was going to pay him, but he would pay him for working. So they went out on Saturday, started early, worked all day. This is summertime, July, hot sun. Worked all day. At the end of the day, he paid his grandson with cash, and whatever that rate was. And so this tired, sweaty boy sees this cash, and his eyes get big, and he perks back up. And so he starts talking about all the things he's going to buy, and probably doesn't have enough money to buy all the things he's talking about buying with what he just made, but he's talking about all these things he's going to buy, what he's going to do with this money. And so his grandfather gives him a few minutes, let that run out, and then says, well, you can do that. It's your money. You can do with it what you want. But won't you just think about something before you run out and spend all this? He said, won't you think about how you have spent a whole Saturday working out here in the hot sun, doing a lot of things that aren't really a whole lot of fun in order to earn this money? And he said, do you think those things you're talking about buying, are they really worth what it took to get that money? And he told me his grandson thought about it a while, and he said, no, I don't think so. I think I'm just going to hold on to it. And so he saved it. Now, on the other hand, I used to work with a guy that always had big, wild ideas for making money, for different business ideas. And some of them weren't half bad. He had some interesting ideas at times. He was a NASCAR fan, and he had come up with this idea for a business of selling advertising to local companies and then putting that in decals on people's car, so you drive around looking like a NASCAR, so everybody would be sponsored, I guess was his idea. And he had a pretty reasonable sounding plan for doing it. I suggested that he should call it Roll Ads. He didn't like that as well. He had another name. I don't remember what his name was. I thought mine was better, but nevertheless, the problem was he had no capital, and he really had no actual business plans, and all of the big ideas that he had never advanced beyond just talking about them, and nothing ever was done. And one snag that always seemed to come up when he was talking about these different ideas, his goal was always to start this profitable business that would run itself so that all he would have to do would just be sign checks and deposit them in the bank, and then he could just enjoy spending the money. To my knowledge, that still hasn't happened to this day, by the way. Well, Proverbs teaches that getting money and keeping money are hard. These are tough things. But Proverbs also teaches us that losing money and spending money is quite easy. In other words, it goes out a whole lot easier and faster than what it can come in. Proverbs 23:5, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Proverbs 27:24, where we started, "For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation." So we talked last time about how that money is important, and it's important how we get it. It's important how we live our lives in relation to it. But money and wealth are very, very temporary possessions, and Proverbs makes that quite clear to us. Money is something that's necessary in life. It's something that's useful in life, but it's not everything in life, and it's not forever. All right, so in this study, we want to consider the wisdom of how we should keep the money we get and wisdom in how we should use the money that we get. All right, so we'll start with how we should keep the money. So again, it's very difficult to get to earn the money. And so by keeping the money, it also requires hard work. It also requires diligence. So one of the problems in keeping money would be that of slothfulness or of laziness. And you see, laziness can obviously be a major obstacle to getting money in the first place, but it can also be an obstacle to keeping whatever it is that you do have. So you look at a passage like Proverbs chapter 24, and beginning at verse number 30. "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." So in other words, you know, here was a man that had a field. He had a property, and a property that could have been productive, but it was overgrown. He hadn't, through slothfulness, he had just sort of let it run down and hadn't used it. So he wasn't really keeping. He was losing what it was that he did have. And you see that he talks about poverty coming on them as a robber. What he's saying there is that to the slothful, poverty comes and takes them by surprise. And oftentimes those that are slothful, they don't connect the two together. You know, they don't really connect or trace it to that. So Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." And you notice how that verse, that saying starts out, that he becomes poor. In other words, again, not only is slothfulness an obstacle to acquiring money that is needed, it's also an obstacle in keeping it. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." Proverbs 21:25, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." So all of these verses that speak about this, in this case, what is self-inflicted poverty through slothfulness. And even whatever is acquired and whatever it is that is possessed is not retained because of it. And slothfulness is also something that we read about, that it also keeps a person in what we might describe today as sort of low-wage, less desirable jobs. In other words, it It's going to hinder and be an obstacle to advancement and to growth and progress in those things. So Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute," which in a sense would point to and speak of like forced labor. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26, "As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." And obviously when you think about that, what these verses are pointing to ultimately is the trouble that a slothful person is for an employer. You know, so if you've hired someone to do a job or whatever the case may be, and they're always slacking, never getting it done, and all that sort of thing. Obviously, these are the kind of things that are a hindrance to making progress, to making advancement, and that sort of thing in the world, in the workplace, and what have you. The slothful also doesn't take personal responsibility. So Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." So again, slothfulness is a real obstacle. It is a real hindrance to the keeping of that we acquire through our work and so on. So wisdom teaches that we should keep our money, keep our wealth through diligence. So Proverbs chapter 27, beginning at verse number 23. "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountain are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. Thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, and for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens." So when you look at this saying, which is a longer saying, in that part of Proverbs, generally they're shorter sayings, but this is a longer saying. When you look at the wisdom saying and what is being taught there, obviously the diligence and the hard work that is required to maintain what you have, to make a profit, to earn with what you have, and saying that in the end there is reward for that, having food for your household, having clothing and all those sort of things. Another way that Proverbs would teach us to keep money is by giving it away. And that's one of the places where biblical wisdom is very counterintuitive and it's very countercultural in what it is saying. Well, how can giving away money be a way of keeping money or of acquiring? Well, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." So here we have the principle that there is a way of scattering that actually increases. Now, Proverbs also talks about foolish spending. That's just a wasting of money, just a wasting of resources. Proverbs does talk about that, but it's also telling us there is a scattering, there is a kind of scattering that actually increases, and there's a withholding more than is meat, and it tends to poverty. And of course, it's talking about giving and generosity. So one of the keys, obviously, to being generous is not being greedy. This warning begins very early in Proverbs, chapter 1, beginning at verse number 10. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, and let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Down in verse 22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. So obviously one of the ways of generosity that wisdom teaches would be avoiding greed, avoiding covetousness, and avoiding that grasping, the what Proverbs 11 referred to as withholding more than is meat. Another way that Proverbs would teach us of keeping that we have would be through being careful and being thoughtful. So Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. So obviously this would speak to wise stewardship, the making of wise decisions, you know, not being hasty, particularly to enter into schemes and all of those sort of things that give big promises but don't pay. Another way that we should keep money according to wisdom is by avoiding sin. Sin is costly, and generally if I say that sin is costly, we're talking about spiritually and mentally and emotionally, and we're talking about a lot of things like that. But it is also true that sin is costly even in financial terms. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 7, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and he's talking about the strange or adulterous woman here, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. And honor here would refer to wealth, to possessions and such. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. In other words, coming to poverty, where you're taking on the being of a servant, you know, to someone else. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning at verse 20. Be not among winebibbers and among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now, again, the financial cost of sin is certainly not the most important cost of sin. Sin costs our soul if we do not repent of our sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. So the financial cost is obviously not the primary or the most important cost to be concerned about with sin, but it is also a cost that has to be realized, that there is a cost. There's a cost to our reputation. There's a cost to our character and our integrity. There's a cost to even to our resources and to our to us financially as well. And another way that wisdom would teach us to keep the wealth that we have and acquire would be by contentment. Contentment. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. And this is obviously would be another aspect where wisdom is very, very countercultural. Our culture does not teach us to be content. It doesn't teach us to seek contentment. It's always got to be more. It's always got to be, you know, having more, getting bigger, and all that sort of thing. So by contentment, one of the keys that wisdom teaches us to contentment is not being a lover of pleasure, that we have our hearts and our minds set on pleasure, that we are pursuing pleasure. So Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 3, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. And of course, we can obviously think about the prodigal son and his experience having received his inheritance early and essentially squandering it all, paying for it all on fleeting pleasures. So the last way that we would speak about that Proverbs tells us of keeping money would be being careful who you take responsibility for. In other words, what responsibilities you put yourself under. So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger," we would refer to that today as something like co-signing loan, something like that. "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." Proverbs 17 and verse 18, "A man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh surety in the presence of his friend." And another one on this in Proverbs 22, beginning at verse 26, "Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee?" So obviously, being careful in our responsibilities and our obligations, what obligations that we are entering into, and all of that sort of thing. So next, the second thing we're going to look at in this lesson would then be the use of money. So how does wisdom teach us to use it? So we've talked about getting it. We've talked about keeping it. So how do we use it? How do we employ the wealth that we have and that we acquire? Well, first of all would be that we give to God. First of all would be that we honor the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." And so this is a principle of honoring the Lord with our substance. And this is a principle that goes from the beginning of the Bible and all the way through. Now, during the Old Covenant law, and they had all sorts of, there was a system of tithing and offering that was set up that they had to follow and all of that sort of thing. And that is not continued, but the principle that we are to give, and we are to give to the Lord, that we are to honor him. And when we give to the Lord, it simply is an acknowledgement of the fact that he is the owner of everything. That if you remember David's prayer when he wanted to build the temple, and of course he wasn't allowed to build the temple. The Lord reserved that for Solomon. But what David did do was that he stockpiled the resources and materials for the building of the temple. And as the people came and as they gave toward the building of that temple, David's prayer, which is just a beautiful one, he was truly humbled. And it really should be our attitude when we honor the Lord with what he, with giving him a portion of what he has given us, and we're just simply saying, you know, who am I to receive such blessing from your hand? You know, you've honored us, you've enabled us, as David said, you've enabled us to give this way. So first of all, with the use of our money, is that we should honor the Lord with our substance, with those things that we have. Then the use of money is obviously for the meeting of our needs, for the needs that we have, the needs that our families have. So if you think about the virtuous woman there in Proverbs 31, verse number 21, "She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple." So obviously there's a responsibility there that we're caring for those that are in our charge, so to speak. So one of the wise uses of money, obviously, is going to be in meeting those particular needs. And another use of money that we are to make is paying those whom we owe. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee." Now, one of the principles that was taught in the Old Covenant law, And Paul even refers to it in the New Testament in his letter to the Corinthians, the first epistle of the Corinthians that we know of. He refers to that principle as well. And that was that those wages were to be paid when they were due. So if they hired, in essence, hired a day laborer to do a job, then when the sun goes down, they're supposed to pay that worker the wage that was due. So, and that was a principle that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 as well. So this proverb, in essence, goes along with that. You know, there's something that is due to someone. It's in your power to do it. He says, don't withhold it. Don't say, you know, well, go and come again, you know, tomorrow, and then I'll give it to you. Well, the scripture teaches us that we should pay those that we owe, whatever that the arrangements are, and whatever that those agreements might be, that we should always seek to honor those and to keep those. Another use of money, according to wisdom, is for the help of those who are in need. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And we have another a number of sayings along this line. Proverbs 14 and verse number 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. And so you catch that as well, that it's honoring to the Lord, having this sort of mercy and this sort of generosity. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Now, if you remember, Jesus at one point during his ministry said something about you know, making a feast and calling the poor and the blind and the lame and so on to the feast. And he said, because they can't repay you. In other words, you know, what have you done if you're just reciprocating? You know, if you're just giving to someone who in turn is going to give to you for you to receive back, he's just saying you really haven't done anything, and you really haven't done anything more than the Gentiles do. But if you make a feast and you invite those who cannot repay you, well, that's sort of the same idea as what he's saying here about lending to the Lord. So giving to someone that can't pay you back, someone that's not going to be able to reciprocate in this, you give to someone, he says, you're lending unto the Lord, and the Lord will repay you. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eye shall have many a curse. Proverbs chapter 31, again, the virtuous woman in verse number 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So again, there is a principle that comes throughout. If you'll recall, when Paul met with some of the apostles there and at Jerusalem, and essentially they were recognizing that God in his work was sending Peter, as it were, more to the Jews and Paul more to the Gentiles, even though Peter and Paul both continued to preach to both. But they saw that there was a particular calling there. They recognized that. And one of the things they mentioned was that they should remember the poor. They should remember those in need, particularly those among them. We have examples of, like, the church at Antioch that had given money and things and sent to the relief of the church in Judea because they were suffering a terrible famine at that time, and so on. So, in other words, this is just a principle that goes through the Bible. Certainly, again, there were certain structures under the Old Covenant law that are not things that we're bound by, but still yet the principle is there, that of generosity, that of being giving and being a help to those that are in need. And that can come in a lot of different ways, and that's probably a bigger subject than we're trying to get into tonight. And another use of money according to Proverbs would be the saving of it. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." And of course, so the ant is a picture of industriousness, obviously. There's the idea of being diligent and being timely, that there's a time for this work to be done. If the ant waits until the wintertime to gather the food, it's going to starve in the winter. So obviously there's that aspect of it, but there's also the aspect of laying up, of laying up. And again, Jesus would tell us, don't with an evil eye just lay up treasure in heaven. But certainly the principle of laying up and saving for and against our future and so on is certainly wise. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 22 says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." Now, somebody last time said something about they got out of the study that they should spend their children and grandchildren's inheritance. They shouldn't give it to them because it would ruin them. All right, well, here's the other side of the coin. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So you're going to have to balance those two things out before you order that RV. All right, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 20. "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." So again, here we get this picture that there's wisdom in saving. There's wisdom in storing up. Again, not with greed, not with covetousness and that sort of thing, but there's wisdom in saving, there's wisdom in storing up, and there's folly in simply just spending it all up. There's folly in just wasting it all away. All right, so as we come to the end of this part of the study, obviously money is important. We've seen that money's important. How we think and act toward money reveals either wisdom or folly. And we must always remember, though, that there are more important things. And so Luke chapter number 12, beginning at verse 13, "One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he told this very familiar parable. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So again, money is important. How we get it, how we keep it, how we use it, all of these things, they are important, and they're going to reveal wisdom or folly. But we also have to remember it's not the most important thing, and it's not the thing that life is all about. And we do need to be concerned that we lay up treasure in heaven, that we be what was it Paul wrote to Timothy, charge them that be rich in this world, that they be rich in good works and those sort of things. So the Bible doesn't teach us that we have to take a vow of poverty in order to be wise or to be faithful Christians. It doesn't teach us that at all. But we can't be lovers of money. Lovers of money, love of money, as the Bible tells us, is the root of all evil. And ultimately, we have to realize that God, the Creator, owns it all. He owns it all. And really, I think it's helpful if we think of it in these terms, that we're just managing it. We're just managing it. We're just stewards of what He gives us. And we're responsible to use it in a way that would be faithful to Him, faithful to His work.